Chris with the latest Trots news. Welcome to RSN Central's Gate Speed.
It was another entertaining weekend of harness racing, and there is plenty to dissect from Friday night at Gloucester Park to the Oaks meeting for the Trotters at Ballarat on Saturday night, plus the Mate Mine Cullen for the mares there and the open class race there for the Pacers, and then Maryborough Cup Day for both the Trotters and the Pacers there yesterday. And Adam Hamilton joins me to discuss all of this. Hello, Adam.
G'day, Gareth. Yeah, look, loads of action. You know, we're going to get into it. I know Chris Elford, he's just riding that crest of a wave, isn't he? He causes the upset on Max Delight, then he wins. Then he wins at Trotters Oaks and continues the great work yesterday at Maryborough as well. But, gee, we've got some pretty stunning news to chat through with Dale Brown today, haven't we?
And the CEO of Harness Racing Victoria, Dale Brown, joins us now on RSN Central's Gate Speed. Welcome to RSN Central, Dale.
Good afternoon, Gareth and Adam. Looking forward to this next few minutes to chat about the wonderful things that are happening in harness racing at the moment.
Now, the exciting announcement that you have joined us for is regarding the turnover figures for the recent Victoria Cup Carnival. I'll let you explain how good they were.
Oh, they're extraordinary, to say the least. Our turnover, as you know, in the last while has been extraordinarily strong and continues to stay that way. But the Victoria Cup and the Smoking Up this year on year, compared to last year, are extraordinary. The Victoria Cup, we will estimate, with international coming in the next couple of weeks, will be in excess of $9 million, so around a $9.1 million turnover. That has never been achieved in harness racing's history. That's over $1 million up on our highest rated meeting previously, which was the Interdom finals night in 2018. And it's extraordinary. And if you look at the Vic Cup and Smoking Up, even the Smoking Up this year compared to last year was 6.8 million with international, and last year was 4 million, 70% increase. So the overall increase year on year, if you count the two events, the two Saturdays, and look at it as a mini carnival, now you've got the Oaks and the Derby infused with the Victoria Cup, you get a 61% increase up over on turnover from last year to this year. It's extraordinary numbers, and really, really exciting to see this growth and to see it continue.
Yeah, that's incredible, Dale. So just to give it overall perspective, highest turnover meeting ever. It'd be fair to say at HRV you probably thought it was almost unattainable, the 7.9 million you hit for ID18. As much as COVID has helped, there's got to be a lot of other factors contributing, doesn't there?
Yeah, there have been, and that's right. And if you look at our Breeders' Crown and Vic Bread last year, we had two terrific nights of turnover just shy of the $7 million mark, and you were wondering whether we'd ever get to those lofty heights of the Interdom 2018 finals night. But what's really credited that is firstly the change by Harness Racing Australia, the change in the racing season, and some very clever programming by the HRV racing team and in association with a lot of feedback from industry, changing the Breeders' Crown in November, bringing the Vic Bread Super Series to New Year's Eve, bringing the Great Southern Star back to its original format, and the Hunter Cup, a two-night carnival in the Summer of Glory. But what that did was the Derby and Oaks had better symmetry, bringing it back to Victoria Cup night for the juveniles. So you've got this wonderful programming now that flows through right into the Summer of Glory. And then the explosion of Trots Vision. I mean, what an exciting platform. For the two nights of the Smoking Up and the Victoria Cup, 6,000 unique viewers on a digital platform. It is emerging as one of the great assets for harness racing, and why people in that 18 to 34 bracket are up 250% from a viewership perspective and are watching the trots and are starting to really, really enjoy it and get involved. It's a wonderful time for the sport at this point.
So, Dale, with those incredible increases in prize money, is our market share increasing as well? Is harness racing's market share increasing?
From a joint venture point of view, Gareth, it's stabilised because, as you know, 2 years ago, we're in a very difficult position. You know, we're in decline, and we're coming off a lower base than the Greyhounds and the Thoroughbreds, but we're building. And in the 2 years that we've been on this journey, we've built a lot from a very, very small base. And we've consolidated, and we're going forward. From a corporate wagering point of view, we're certainly up you know, up significantly. The joint venture was looking in decline for us for a period of time, and we have been in decline for some period. But we're hoping and we're looking at that to have stabilised, and it looks that way at the moment. And, you know, retail's closed at the moment, and there's been some downside in this intervening period because of the retail closures for TAB. So we've got some downside there, but we're picking it up on the other side of the ledger from a corporate wagering point of view.
And Dale, more well, firstly, a couple of things. Will the industry see the benefit of this? We talked a couple of months now ago about stake money, and you said that a lot of work was being done behind the scenes. How close are you to announcing stake money increases?
Yeah, we've been working behind the scenes with the industry and ourselves, and in terms of looking at what the most appropriate stake money increases would be. We're going to make some targeted stake money increases, and we'll make those announcements next week. So we've done the work. We've listened to industry. We've received a lot of written submissions from industry. The racing teams looked at all that. And, unfortunately, we don't have the degree of the turnover of the thoroughbreds and the dogs from their perspective, because they've been culminating and doing it in an exponential way in the last 2 years. But certainly we'll be able to make some targeted stake money announcements next week, which will be great for the industry.
Yep, that is exciting. So a decision won't be far away, as you just pointed out from that. I think everybody is really looking forward to seeing what those prize money increases are anyway, Dale, because it does give everyone extra motivation to get up in the morning if there's some bigger prize money goals to chase.
Well, that's right, Gareth. And this is about making pragmatic, sustainable rises along the journey. And as we see the industry really consolidate what we're doing now, you know, this is something we can continually look at in a fluid way in this environment. And we continue to revisit our models and where we can make rises, we will, in a sustainable way. Because the last thing you want to do is make prize money increases where you can't sustain them. And that's no good for industry or confidence. We've got so much confidence momentum now that we want to keep this momentum going so we can bring better returns to the industry. This is what it's about. At the end of the day, you know, building a successful business and commercial model and having multiple revenue streams insert themselves into the harness racing organisation across, and I'm talking about the state harness racing in Victoria, is really, really important. And to build these models and to look at ways to really drive the business and bring in multiple revenue streams is so important, because in the end of the day, it goes back to the participants, and we want people to reap the rewards of their hard work. They get up early, they do a lot of hard work, and it's been a tough few years, and I really think we've turned the corner, and there's a lot to look forward to in the future.
All right, Dale, look, we are short on time, but there's a couple of key things that I want to throw at you before we let you go in the next couple of minutes. First thing is, okay, the carnival was fantastic, but can you get the punters to stick? Are you seeing evidence? So what was Saturday night like, for example?
Oh, look, they're sticking. Like Saturday night, our early numbers with international will be around that $6.5 million mark. I mean, that's now in the top five race meetings of highest turnover ever. It's extraordinary. And then even on Friday night, we're at that $4.6 million mark. Now, that's $11 million turnover in two nights for harness racing. I mean, we used to get excited when we get to $4 million just for a turnover on a metro night. So, and understanding that these nights are happening in regional Victoria, and it just goes to show you that the punter, the person really rediscovering harness racing again, that younger demographic, are sticking with us, watching with us, and investing into the sport. It's extraordinary.
Gareth Hall with you, Adam Hamilton for Gatespeed on RSN Central. Our special guest is the CEO of Harness Racing Victoria, Dale Brown. And Adam, you've got one more question for the boss.
Yeah, I have, and it's bigger and it's really important for the industry. So Dale, you've just outlined a really positive state of play for the industry at the moment, a growth state of play, and Trot's vision's absolutely flying. What does this mean for harness racing in Victoria as an industry as you get very close to starting talks about the three biggest things on your plate? media rights, the license, the wagering license in Victoria, and also your sponsorship deal?
Yeah, it's a really great question, Adam. It's, the environment's changed completely. We're building our assets up within HRV. It's very, very important that we do this, because what you've got to do in any sport is control the things you can succeed with in terms for driving revenue. So our vision is absolutely key and critical. We must build the asset of Trot's vision. We must look at what that looks like in relation to any media rights discussions that we go forward with, because Trot's vision will be the vehicle to reconnect people with our sport, educate people with our sport. It's the same with the sponsorship arrangements. The sponsorship arrangements are vital as well, because the environment's changed so much in terms of, you know, the wagering landscape, in terms of corporate wagerers, and in terms of the license for the joint venture. So the sponsorship arrangements are key, and we'll be looking to maximise those as we go forward. And the wagering license is absolutely key as well. And we're working from a joint venture perspective with the three codes, and we want to try and maximise the return to the industry as we go forward. And those discussions will be key, because these three things, as I talked about before, create the revenue dimension for the industry, and these things will set us up for success going forward. So those discussions, and when they arrive, to have those discussions with our partners, that'll be very, very important that we get the best deal for Harness Racing Victoria possible on all those three key items.
Dale, do you still... is Sky Racing One, however, still your money? Is it they call it the money channel? Is that still the most important part regarding your with your wagering, or do you think now with Trot's vision developing that you can move away a little bit from Sky Racing One?
I think Sky Racing One's still very, very important in our ecosystem. It's still the main channel, the main source to drive wagering turnover. Sky One is key to all the codes, and it's that part of the puzzle that's very, very important. And from a relationship point of view with Trots and Sky, Sky's there for the punter who wants to look at all the races and has got a different style of punting and the way they consume their products, and they bet across different codes, etc. Trots Vision is that more intimate type of relationship with the consumer who wants to know a bit more about the sport, wants to be educated about the sport, wants to get involved and have a bit of entertainment and understand what the actual meeting looks like, the lead up, the discussions between, you know, Dan Malecki calling the races and the Trots Vision team, special comments. Now we've got some of our industry people sitting on those panels. So that provides that more in-depth look at the race meeting itself. But I think collectively they're both very important as we go forward.
And next week you're coming back here to RSN Central, which is great for hopefully the prize money announcement as well.
I'll be coming back on to talk about that next week.
Well, lucky win, Dale. Hey, congratulations. Job well done. And thanks for coming on RSN Central.
No, good on you, gents, and we'll talk to you soon.
There's the CEO of Harness Racing Victoria, Dale Brown. 0416 90 50 52 to join our conversation. A few SMSs coming through. I'll get to them in just a moment. But that's a big tick for harness racing in this state, Adam. And it has to give participants confidence going forward as well, is that people are enjoying the product and the entertainment that they're providing.
I think the most exciting part of it all, those figures are sensational, obviously, but the most exciting part of it all is to hear that when we moved into a relatively normal meeting last Saturday night, the fans have kept following. The neutral punters have kept betting on harness racing. So if Dale's saying it's about 6.5 million on Saturday night, that's pretty much close to what we got on Smoking Up night, the night one of the carnival. That's incredible. So signs are really good for harness racing. Turnover has been in decline. Market share has been in decline for a long, long time. This is the first really significant uplift we've seen, gee, I reckon in more than a decade, Gareth.
Queen Elida was impressive to lead all of the way in the Trotters Oaks. There's some saying that maybe Bangles was going to go past her until she galloped, but she galloped. And Queen Elida did everything right. And she was, in saying that, defending Queen Alida for the people out there, and I tipped Queen Alida, so I might be sticking up for a little bit more than others. But Aldebaran Ursula had the cold sit on her. I know she had to go a little bit wider once Bangles galloped, but Queen Alida was so much stronger than her through the line, Adam. I thought she was impressive.
Yeah, no, she was. And again, you know, there was a lot of Victoria Cup to it, wasn't it? What happened in the first 100 metres required Chris Elford's brilliance of getting horses out of the gate. He got across Bangles, it changed the race. Look, we can debate forever. Personally, I think Bangles was going to go past, you know, Queen Alida, but, you know, it doesn't matter, does it? Manners are everything, particularly in trotting races. And you know, manners, gate speed, and then manners under pressure in the home straight were the difference. And great to see. I mean, Alfred and Lily have this wonderful partnership over a long period of time. And, you know, he's just... We don't talk enough about Brent Lilly and the greatness that he's brought with him from New Zealand to Victoria. We almost take him for granted now, don't we?
How lucky are we in this state with the trainers who can prepare a trotter? Like Chris Lang, Andy Gath, Brent Lilly, Chris Finozio, Matthew Craven does a wonderful job. Alison Alford does a wonderful job with the trotters. Emma Stewart now is doing a great job with the trotters. This might be a big call, but I think because of the strength of our trotting trainers and the quality of the breed that we're producing at the moment, thanks to people like Pat Driscoll and Duncan McPherson and the Matthews family, and I could go on and on, I think the trotting gate in this state might be as big as the pacing gate in a decade.
Well, it looks to be heading that way, doesn't it? And you're right. I mean, probably the most... Was the most significant shift was to see Emma and Clayton start to get trotters as well. And that was a result of 15 years of hard work to get the trotters credibility and get them to a level where Emma and Clayton thought, for our business to be sustainable, we can't just rely on paces. We have to get into trotters as well. And that certainly added to it. What was the saying for a long time? I've got to get a trotter because then I don't have to beat Emma and Clayton. Well, that's not the case anymore.
Spellbound, is she the best mare in this state?
She's the second best, and in a few weeks we might even say she's the best. She's going to get her chance to beat Amazing Dream. It's such a conundrum. I put that question to Nathan Purden when I previewed that race last week, and Nathan said, this is fascinating, and it probably sums up Amazing Dream. Nathan said, I reckon Spellbound would beat Amazing Dream more often than not if they clashed in mares races, and that's a good pointer towards the Queen of the Pacific in a few weeks. But he said that X factor that Amazing Dream has got is her ability to beat the boys in the very biggest races. So whether Spellbound will ever get the chance to do that, who knows? But Spellbound and Amazing Dream go round again this week. Amazing Dream in the Cup, Spellbound in the Angelique Club for the mares, and then they clash in the Queen of the Pacific at Group 1 level in a couple of weeks' time.
Peter Manning's a legend of the game. He changed the sport with the way that he trained horses with double heats and up that hill there at Great Western. And he's got another superstar on his hands here, Plymouth Chubb, the Majestic Sun 2-year-old out of an in-the-pocket mare, Pocket Fantasy. He has got some toughness and X factor. He's got it all, basically, hasn't he? He was so impressive to take out the Tatlow Stakes on Saturday night.
Yeah, I just loved it. You know, as when I was really starting to sink my teeth into harness racing as a career, you know, Peter Manning, and then soon after, Karen came along as a 16-year-old and started to take the world by storm. But you know, Peter and Kieran together had so many megastars, you know, like the She's a Monner and Luke of Earls and Sky Strikes, and, you know, the list goes on, Pelican Rama, of all the stars they had together. They had no greater horse together than Night Pistol, and now potentially they've got their best trotter together in Plymouth Chubb since the great Night Pistol in the late 90s. Just oozes strength and potential and excitement, and it's wonderful to see them teaming up together and being in the big races, especially with a lot of big races to come between now and the end of the year.
This might be a big call, but I'll go out on a limb here. I think Willie Go West is the best horse in this state I think that there's something about him.
Gareth.
Think he was sensational yesterday.
Seriously.
155.8.
Leading. Done off the pegs?
Just the arrogance.
What's he done off the pegs?
Well, he hasn't done, but I just think that, well, most horses don't do much off the pegs these days, Adam.
Well, Amazing Dream did in the Kilmore Cup. When he does what Amazing Dream did in the Kilmore Cup, come talk to me again. So
Amazing
Dream. He's exciting.
Yeah.
We've got.
He would defeat Amazing Dream one-on-one, that horse, easily.
Not only if he led. I don't think he's won a race without leading.
Yeah.
So.
Amazing Dream can't lead, Adam. What do you like? Amazing Dream's the worst leader in going around at the moment.
Gareth. Talk to me when he's won a Group One race, let alone nine.
But I'm just saying, I'm just saying, on potential wise, I think he can be the best horse.
It was a peg dominated race. He went terrific. In the last 15 years, I don't think we've had a thinner batch of open class horses. We've got.
It's going back to the days when you used to talk about Bitter Bliss. I'm sounding like he used to be the best horse in the country when he was racing against On the Mighty Quinn, Adam.
Well, he was the best horse in Victoria at the time. So
you were saying he was the best horse in the country.
That.
Yeah. Anyway, but I think he's potential-wise, he's the best horse in the state.
Well,
time will tell.
He's going to get his chance, isn't he? He's what's he got? I suppose he's only got really the.
He might go to Geelong Cup. He might go to the Geelong Cup and then Inter-Dominion might be on the agenda. But I think the Hunter Cup and those type of races.
If he's that good, wouldn't you be taking him up to run into Len Smith in 2 weeks at Menangle?
He might
where
be going
there.
Draw
the front row?
Yeah, I think he might be going there.
I would. Yep. You've only got to beat Expensive Ego. There's no depth in that race.
Bonzo Benjamin might win the Len Smith mile these days.
Cut it out. I wonder whether Aiki will take any. It'll be interesting where the Max Delight goes.
Well, he could. He could.
You know?
Hey,
but it's hard because you have got the Geelong Cup here and things like that.
I love the penny drop story. Now, if there was a grand annual in harness racing, he would be the horse that you'd want to be on because he stays all day. He's tough. And it was a great drive by Alfred. But in the end, the penny drops just nabbed him in the concluding stages. And Grant Campbell never panicked. It was a terrific race up that straight, but he's just a dead set stay of the penny drops.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story. And these, these races are on at absolutely the right time for him. Was it well-defined? We saw win so many of these races 12 months ago. And, you know, the penny drops is just in the zone for these and the beautiful story around it as well. So, yeah, it's awesome. We got to chat Perth briefly.
Yep.
Probably, well, in your top three all-time favourites, Chicago Bull, and the little boy's back this week.
Yeah, I think there's an opportunity for him, if all they can get him back, and he's a master trainer, that he can definitely play a major part there during the bigger races towards the end of the season. Because, I don't know, there's a few just
dropped. Can he still beat a Magnificent Storm, though?
I think he can. I think he could outstay a Magnificent Storm for mine. Minstrel's a question mark after he failed the other day. There's a few that have just been I think Hurricane Harley was impressive, winning off the fence. That was a big tick for mine to do what he did. It was a brilliant drive by Junior. And I think horses, there's been a few dropping off there, so I think he gets his chance. If he leads in a pacing cup, he's the horse I want to be on.
Yeah. Look, I'm hoping. Obviously, the team's really bullish about how he's come back. So we want to see him come out and do the job. You wouldn't think Hurricane Harley would back up this week, so he might half have the race at his mercy. We want to see him just come out and look really good, don't we, and add another dimension. They've got the best depth of open-class horses anywhere in Australia, and by a mile. I'm not saying they've got the best horse, but they've got the best depth of open-class horses, haven't they? Because New South Wales is really thin. King of Swing, Expensive Ego, and I don't know about Ignatius the way he went on.
Your SMS is now 0416 90 50 52. Gareth, what were you smoking at Matty Stewart, just saying that Willie's the best horse here in Victoria? I said potential wise, right now, if I had to choose a horse, he would be a horse that I would like to have because I think that he could go on to win Group Ones. He hasn't got the resume to be the best horse, but potential wise, there. Gareth, I'm a 21-year-old and over lockdown, I've discovered a love for not only thoroughbred racing, but harness as well. Wouldn't matter where they are racing if the stars of the people will bet on it. Yourself, Adam and Dan are a major reason why people are getting into the sport. So keep up the great work. Thanks for that. What's the update on Harness Racing Victoria looking to get back closer to the city with the trots? That's from Darren. I think there's a serious chance that we do get back to the showgrounds, Adam, I'm hearing, but I've heard that for quite some time.
Oh, sorry. Is that what it is? It's not about getting back to Melton meetings in the short term? Is that you reckon we're talking about getting a track closer to the city?
Yeah, okay.
Good. Let's ask Dale next Monday. If he's back on about stake money, let's find out. The last time we spoke to him, I think he talked about feasibility studies being done and discussions with the Royal Agricultural Society and the government. So clearly the showgrounds still have some sort of heartbeat, but Dale's the CEO. Let's ask him next Monday. Well, let's put that on the agenda.
Yeah, this is from Tom. Gareth, the Nathan Jack court case has been going on for a month and no one's talked about it in the media. Can you please give us an update?
How can we update on a court case involving the police? Let's let that one play out and we'll see.
You can't. Well, you can usually, if it's a court case, you could have your court reporters that go into the court and they present the facts that have been delivered by the prosecution or the defence. So, unfortunately, we can't go to
court. We're talking about Nathan Jack. Yeah, we're talking about Nathan Jack, not Gladys Berejiklian here. So,
I understand.
I don't think anyone's going to be in there covering the case.
But he is a big. Yeah. It is a big story. He was one of the biggest stars in the sport of harness racing. But you can't get any information unless you get on the Zoom link and all that. So we'll see how it plays out. But geez, it has been like when I heard it was in court once again, I thought, it's been going on for 4 years, hasn't it?
It's been war and peace. It's extremely frustrating. I can't imagine how frustrating it is for Nathan and everyone else involved in it, probably for Harness Racing Victoria as well. Yep. But this is what happens when the police are involved, isn't it? So we've got to explain simply here that this is a legal matter at the moment. So no one can make it go any quicker because it needs to go through the legal process. But that said, it is intolerable that this is still going, what is it, 3 years since?
It's
got to be at least two. It's probably 3 years ago, isn't it?
What needs to happen is sometimes that the prosecution they don't quite understand the game of racing, and it's happened before in Queensland, where it took so long for the prosecution to build up a case regarding the evidence that they had for the Shane Graham case, and then all of a sudden it gets thrown out, but he's on the back page of the Courier Mail. So Nathan gets his chance in court to try and clear his name, and as soon as we get the information to report on it, we can have an opinion. But at the moment, as Adam pointed out, it's in court at the moment, and we'll let all that play out. But it needs to hurry up the process. There's no doubt about that. Gareth, who is a bigger moral, Gareth, than Adam? Incentivising the Cup or King of Swing in the Inter? Oh, I think you should take the double, Adam. I know you're off the King of Swing bandwagon these days.
No, look, I'm not off him, but I don't think he's invincible.
No.
But this is going to be a very thin inter-Dominion, isn't it, depth-wise? So, I don't think he's invincible. Put it this way, if he had to sit parked rather than getting to the front, he's beatable in the inter-Dominion. Whereas incentivised, regardless of weight penalties, and horses do not do what incentivised did. It might be slightly harder and it's a little bit further and he's deeper into a preparation, but if the horse that won on Saturday turns up at Flemington, it's just a matter of the margin.
Gareth, hearing that Majestic Man, if he comes over for the Inter-Dominion, might be trained by the great Anthony Butt and Sonia Smith. There you go. He's the equal favourite at $4. My understanding there is Phil Williamson will make a decision with the owners shortly whether they... I think he's coming, Majestic Man, but whether Brad can come with him, but I don't think Brad can afford to stay away for that long.
Not like last time. Yep. Yeah, not like last time. He's he's a real conundrum, isn't he? Because he's just going in New Zealand, but when they brought him to Australia last time, he was flying. So he can't win a decent race in New Zealand at the moment because Bolt for Brilliance and Sunday Sun are clearly better than him over there. So with his gate speed and drawing the front row at Menangle, he's got to come to the Indominion, and it probably makes sense for him to go to A-Bath. So, yep.
Hopefully you join the Willy party, Adam. You love it.
He's got a tremendous motor, but his gait has got to get a lot. Yeah. It's getting better, but he can still get very rough at times. And but anyway,
I agree.
The more nice horses we have in open class, the better. I'm just saying, I don't care. I never care what a horse does when it leads. I want to see what a horse does when it's got to overcome adversity. That's what I'll measure it by. And that was my point about King of Swing last week. And that's my point about Willie Go West potential at the moment.
I think you're getting a lot harder in your, as you get older, Adam. You're a tougher taskmaster these days, which we enjoy here on RSN.
There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. Enjoy. I'm grumpy.
Hey, the good news is the borders are open, so we can head to the Inter-Dominion.
Yeah, can't wait to get up there. I know I'm saying it's going to be a thinner series, but it's still going to be great racing. Yep. And
it's still the Inter-Dominion.
Yeah, can't wait. Hopefully a lot of Victorians get up there for it. And who knows, like maybe a self-assured might come over.
What did you make of that?
Got a couple to have a go at.
Who did South Assured?
South Coast Arden.
South Coast Arden was first past the post, but the stewards protested against Natalie drifting off the fence a little bit, interfering or taking the line of South Assured, and the race was overturned, which was interesting.
Yeah.
I say good on the stewards for that, because my pet hate in harness racing at the moment and in thoroughbreds, and I've had a gutful, is that drivers, and there's so many of the great drivers that do it, drift off the fence, interfere with the second horse, but nothing gets done. You've got to stay in a straight line.
Yeah, no, agree. Agree entirely. Look, I didn't see all of the steward's vision of it. I can't speak, in absolute clarity about the incident, but personally, I don't reckon enough protests are upheld. I reckon we give way too much benefit of the doubt to winners, but that's just a personal opinion.
Thanks for that, Adam. And Matty Nevitt's about to come on the fifth quarter. Now, you've got a lot of friends in New Zealand, haven't you, Adam, down there?
Probably more than I have in Australia after the last 2 weeks of these segments, Gareth.
Yeah, well, I think Matty Nevitt, he's fired up the Kiwis regarding a poll that he put on our social media platforms regarding the Kiwi, if it deserves a start in the Cox Plate. But he didn't have an opinion. It was just a poll. And Aidan Rodley and the like have really hit back at us here. So we'll get Matty Nevitt to come on to explain that situation in just a moment. You might have to put a good word in. Yeah.
Oh, well, look, it's all discussion. And I think certainly in my time following the Cox Plate, think that the toughness of trying to get into the race, or the brutal culling of horses from getting a run, has certainly eased a lot, through some of the 3-year-olds that have been able to get into that. I remember 1 year Cole Diesel won the big one at Caulfield and couldn't get into the Cox Plate.
Yep.
So
cool sign, Mav a win by 5 lengths, hard held now on the Cox Plate. Good on you, Adam.